Welcome to your diary episode. Here's the thing, I'm a bit of a nomad, so these episodes come to you from wherever I'm living or travelling to at the time. So I'll share with you what's going on in my world, from book tours, animal encounters, delish meals, nature adventures, health discoveries, to swimming in hidden Byron Bay beaches. Come with me as I share my adventures with you. Hello, and welcome to part two of the book special series. So these episodes are, it's a three-part series. So if you missed part one that came out last Friday, it'll be in the, the scrolling history, or I don't know how to go back, but it's all in there. And then, you know what I mean, when you go back to the, oh my goodness, the navigation bit of your pod app. So part one was all about the intro and a little bit of like behind the scenes and the team that goes into a book. This second episode is actually breaking down the first part of the book. So we talk about the chapters and I'll kind of unpack them a little bit. I'll give you a little bit of like behind the scenes of like, oh, I really wanted to include that bit because of this. And then next week's episode, we'll be tackling the second part of the book, which is more like the toolkit, the things that I tried on that worked really well. It's the G up, you know, it's like I'm your cheerleader. So that's the aim of the game with this series. So it's a really nice short series. It's a three-part series. This is part two of the three-part series. So I hope you like it. The book is officially out now and available everywhere, Big W, Target, Kmart, Dimmicks, pretty sure it's at Collins as well, QED. I'm trying to think where I signed in Sydney. I signed at so many beautiful bookstores all over Sydney. So it's out and about. And by the time this episode comes out, I'll be in Melbs and about to sign all over Melbourne too. So as Australia opens up, I get to move around and sign stock. So the way that the book's broken down, and you can probably hear me flicking through the pages, is basically your intro, which we definitely broke down the about me, the intro, all of that in the part one of this series. And then today we look at the contents of the first part of the book. So fear, failure, love and heartbreak, acting and human behavior, and success. And then next week we'll look at the second part of the book, becoming bulletproof, your toolkit, do the work, righto, let's do this, which is the G up. So part one, the first chapter in part one, is called fear. And I really nerded out over, at the beginning of each chapter, there's like a little takeaway or inspiring quote from like a podcast guest or someone that inspires me. And this is a really cool quote. So this isn't a podcast guest. Hopefully one day, George Clooney, if you're listening, it's a really cool quote by George Clooney, the legend. My biggest fear is doing the same thing 10 years from now. That would be a failure. It's something you have to constantly reassess, and asking yourself what you are going to do next makes it a good, long, full journey. Love George Clooney. Love him, love him, love him. So this chapter is all about fear, and I talk about things that we might fear. I'll just read you one little tiny hunk and then we'll move through the chapter. So the start says this: all of us have felt afraid and have had to face our fears at some point or another. It's just part of the human experience. But have you ever really stopped to sit with fear, to welcome it in, and to understand what's causing that anxiety and worry? So then I break down what fear is, because as you probably know, it's like a primal protection mechanism that probably saved us from many a saber-toothed tiger. And so I break down like actually the mechanics of fear and why we get it. Then we talk about anxiety and nerves and how it manifests differently for different people. This is cool. Fear control and knowing your triggers. That's really, really cool. And like understanding what your vice is. Like there can be so many different vices. It can be eating, drinking, drugs, shopping, sex. For me, it's obviously eating. Although I'm like, obviously, but you'll know, like I talk a lot about my eating disorder in this chapter as well, I'm quite sure. Yep, that's the next page. Talk a lot about my eating disorders and how whenever I would feel fearful or out of control, I'd eat. Fear of failure is a huge one, and I think we can all relate to this. So I'll just read you a tiny bit from this. This one is another real hurdle for me. At acting school, one of my teachers said to me, facing your blind spots takes courage, work, and being okay with not having everything together. He would also say to me, Lola, let yourself fall, let yourself fail, let yourself be messy. My perfectionist brain really struggles with this because being messy and falling is also uncomfortable, but it's ultimately where the growth and magic is. So, yeah, I think a lot of people can probably relate to that. I know I'm not alone with like being a bit A-type personality and, you know, we all want to give it our best. So I break down the fear of failure. I talk about self-doubt. This is really cool. So at the end of each chapter, there's like bullet points and I'll be really cheeky and share them to you. And I've written here, how to work on your fears. We all feel fear. The best thing you can do is learn to understand it. Know your triggers and know that you're not alone. It's a primal mechanism that has once done a great job of helping to protect our ancestors. But when you're feeling fear and it's not warranted or it's getting muddled up with love or excitement, know that it's totally normal. The ways you can work on your fear are understand it, see a therapist, that's what I do, get perspective, sit with it, welcome it, feel it. That one's a hard one. It is easier said than done because sitting with it and welcoming an uncomfortable feeling is really confronting. I'm getting better at it, but I reckon there was 10 years where I would just be like, I'll eat a chocolate bar instead of feel that thing. Meditate, do yoga, let go of the self-doubt. Imagine what you would do if failure wasn't an option. I love that. I've worked a lot with, when I've coached clients that a lot of people come to me initially for nutrition and then they go, can we just come for like business coaching? And I'm like, sure. And I would, that would be like a, I kind of work on that concept with them. And so that it's like, what would you do if there were no constraints? And then I like draw that in the middle of a whiteboard or on a piece of butcher's paper and then all the spokes come out from that like dream. For me, it's usually like TV show hosting people in a treehouse that I've built and also live in, of course. Feel the fear and do it anyway. I mean, I know that's no new news for everybody, but it's still hard to do. So the next chapter is called Failure, and I love this quote. So this is taken from the podcast. I interviewed this incredible author called Candace Fox. She's one of my favorite authors in the entire world. She writes the most incredible, I think it's crime fiction will be the genre. I can't put her books down. She's just one of those epic writers and she's so down to earth and arguably probably one of the most successful authors in our country. She's written, co-written with an amazing author in America called James Patterson, and he's like a huge crime writer. Crime fiction author, and they write together. So I think he sold something like over 300, is it million or something? It's an insane amount of books, and they write together. So she's very, very successful, exact same age as me. Got a Bambi, got a couple of Bambinos, like got a fan bam. Okay, so this is what Candace says. I got my very first no, and that just lit the fire. Candace Fox on receiving 200 rejection letters before signing to her first publisher. Like that's one of the arguably the best authors in our country. Anyway, how amazing. And also, if you can be bothered going back and listening, it wasn't that long ago. I had her on like in the last year. If I ever got homesick when I was in America, I would listen to her episode because she's got the coolest Aussie accent. And she's just no frills. She's super humble, but she's got no like, she's so relatable. Like she's got no, I wasn't nervous even though she accomplished all this incredible stuff. Like I think when we were talking, she was on to manuscript 13 or something, like prolific writer. I'll read you a little pinch from Failure. Failure, my favorite F word. Righto, let's get straight to it. You've already failed at plenty of things and know this, you're most definitely going to fail again. Ah, that sounds brutal, but it's true. And surprise, surprise, it's the same for me. I've failed way, way more than I've succeeded and I am 100% going to fail loads more. And here's the weird bit. I love that. You see, failure isn't a bad thing. It's a brilliant opportunity to learn, grow, and ultimately become happier, more successful, and better understand who you really are, leading to a more fulfilled life. There you go. So there's a little taste. That's the intro of Failure. And then I share a lot of my own values. So I really open up about the diet book that I wrote called Stop Being a Fat Bitch, which is all about changing our mental dialogue around the way we talk to ourselves. I still talk to myself that way today. I've still got body dysmorphia. And so it was literally called Stop Being a Fat Bitch, Change Your Mental Dialogue, Change Your Life. But no one saw the subtitle, which I totally get. And I talk about like kind of just, you know, going through the roughness of that. And there was like an uproar, like there was like a Daily Mail story saying career suicide, Lola Berry. And there was like a current affair story. And then there was like this hashtag bin the berry and photos of my other books in bins. It was really, really full on. So I open up about that and how I was actually really wrong to call it that. And I need to own my own mistake. And to this day, I apologize for ever offending anybody. It was never my intention. I was just sharing my own mental self-talk, but I can see how it was totally the wrong thing to do. I talk about the smoothie bar, Happy Place, that was a flop. That's an interesting story because we ended up having to float that. And after that means kind of like all the partners have to put money in to keep the doors open and wages paid. And we did that for 3 years. And then we were all like, too much. So I really open up about that. I talk about all the struggles trying to get to America. Talk about not being a mom in my mid-30s, which, you know, that's something that I've talked about a little bit in podcasts and stuff as a guest. But, yeah, I've written about it as well. I hope this is fun to kind of go through it. Then I've got this section called Cool Humans Who Have Failed, and I've kind of like featured a few mates and people I've interviewed on the pod. So Chicken, aka Liesl Jones, Megan Gale's in here, Michael Jordan, again, haven't had him on the pod yet, but would love to happily get you on, Michael Jordan. And then I talk about like that concept of kind of like falling in love with failure and finding the gift in it. Again, there's that like bullet point section at the end, and it's like failure can do many awesome things. It can teach you who's really there for you when the chips are down. I've definitely learned that one. It can teach you resilience. You're way stronger than you give yourself credit for. It can help you to be way more flexible. If something doesn't go to plan, it's just an opportunity to change your tactic or strategy, or is the word that everyone loves using, pivot. I feel like that's the word of like 2020, 2021. It can force you to be honest with yourself. It can give you the opportunity to get clear on your values. It can build your determination. You know, when something doesn't go to plan, you're like, I have to find another way because it is so important to me that it happens. It can reinforce the fact that you need to know your stuff, so skilling up if you fail at something. It can show you when it's the right time to bow out, so long as you can get out your ego out of the way, that is. Yeah, the ego is a trickster. And then it forces you to ask yourself, how bad do I want it? Oh, fun. And then I talk a little bit about like getting help and never being afraid of asking for help. All right, next chapter, love and heartbreak. And the quote is, love makes your soul crawl out from its hiding place. And the that quote is from Boss bought me one of these books when we first started dating. So the author is Zora Neale Hurston. Beautiful like prose. That book that's from. And then at the top of this chapter, because this is my audiobook version, so it's got heaps of notes in this book, it says stay clear, truthful communication, sit in being you. So I just did these things because I was recording for 2 weeks straight. So I had these like little notes. So love and heartbreak, it's really personal, and I'm not going to lie to you. I shared stories of obviously people I dated, and there was a lot that had to get cut, more for legal reasons because like you don't want to get in any trouble. So everything in it is true, 100% true, but so much was cut out. There was like some really, like I wrote about some really funny breakups, like hilarious things. Like one day someone put rotten fish in my car and I really wanted to include it. And they're like, no, you have to cut that. So a lot got cut out. There's still so much in there, like to the point that my mum and brother called me and they were like, oh my God, we were trying to guess who all the guys were. So it is like super open. I talk about epic love. So my first love was epic and I kind of celebrate that, which I didn't expect to write about that. Then I write about all the lessons, like the topics are dating boys with big ... egos, trying to date a fuckboy, and always thinking that you can change them, but really you can't. We talk about narcissists, psychopaths a little bit, a toxic setup, so like a friend telling me to date their friend and that was toxic from straight out of the gate. And I talk about like the pain of that too, a little bit about friendship breakups in here. But yeah, there was so much stuff like I had to really like trust my editor and just be like, take out what needs to be taken out. Because initially it was so long and like I've always thought I could write a dating book just on dating. And yeah, again, you don't want to be disrespectful to anyone. So I was really mindful of like not hurting anybody because like I got myself into all of these situations and, you know, I'm sure I did things that weren't, and I write about some yucky stuff, like some more friendshipy things that I did that weren't cool at all and where I've had very narcissistic traits. So, yeah, there's heaps in here, heaps, but yeah, it was really interesting to see that get pulled back and edited. And I think because it's so personal to you, you feel really attached to it. So, yeah, I'd love to hear what you think if you read their human behavior and their love and heartbreak section. Okay, so the next chapter, this is my favorite chapter. This is called Acting and Human Behavior. The quote is, acting is a spiritual quest to touch human beings. And that's by Larry Moss, who's a really famous acting teacher. He's specifically kind of like known as Leonardo DiCaprio's acting teacher. I really want to do his masterclass when I go back to America. It's meant to be hardcore but epic. So this chapter is kind of like all the stuff that I've learned from acting school but then also human behavior, if that makes sense, because the two, like they say good acting is human behavior. So it's so much fun, but I it's almost a little bit more dot pointy than the other chapters because I learned so much and they're just like little hunks that I've learned from acting school. So I'll read you some of the headings. Be specific and stay disciplined. Be overprepared. I love that one. Trust yourself. Lead with the truth. Understand your own psychology. Don't be ruled by your demons and be yourself. Connect to your breath, body, and voice. Love that. There's this concept like in acting school about like talent only gets you so far. It's really hard work that gets you there. And there's this saying like every class the teacher is going to be like, do the work, do the work, do the work. The success rate is like 2%. So do the work so that you're the hireable person. Listen, ride the roller coaster the right way. Don't play it safe. Feel the fear and do it anyway. There's no clear pathway. Be respectful. Open heart, eyes up. Really cool. You are mortal, take nothing for granted. That was from Larry Moss because I've audited, which means just watched, not participated in, but like watched as an audience member. So I've audited a workshop with him over COVID on Zoom. I write a little bit about grief and letting go, which was a bit confronting to write about because when I was writing the manuscript, my awesome nan passed away. And so I wasn't going to be writing about grief at all. And then, you know, things come up when you're writing. Having the courage to act, I talk about failing in acting school. Could do a whole book on that. We talk about like actually a bit of story theory, which is really cool, like the way movies are made. Acting tips that can be applied to real life. Understand what motivates you, just like a character in a scene. Do the work and work hard. Drop doubt, be true, abandon the ordinary, study, then study some more, practice, learn, don't be afraid of your power, stay open, be specific if you want to be great, connect to your body, be truthful always, let go of your ego, don't waste time, life is so short, be here now, stop beating yourself up, open your heart and keep your eyes on the horizon. How cool. All right, so we're nearly at the end of part one, I feel. Yeah, this is the last chapter of part one. How are we going for time? Oh, yep. Okay. As always, Lola goes over. I was like, these will be short 20-minute eps. Next minute. So this is now we're on to the chapter called Success. And this quote was by one of my favorite guests I've ever had on the podcast, Joe Wicks, the body coach. There's three things I live by: to work hard, have fun, and be nice. It's simple, isn't it? It's how successful people succeed in life. Do you know what? I really want to do it in a British accent because he's British. Let me try. There's three things I live by: to work hard, have fun, and be nice. It's simple, isn't it? It's how successful people succeed in life. Joe Wicks, the body coach. I probably didn't do a very good job there. I've been working so hard on my American accent, and today I was doing my New York accent, and it is so hard. It's like, I think I've said it in other podcasts, but it's like, you start in general American, it's like a really bright accent, and so it's really clear, and you know, it's a very silky accent. Like, it just feels very nice to listen to, and it's like, I'll read a little bit. Success, it's the ultimate goal, right? But what really is it? How do we achieve it? And is it the same for everyone? So that's general American, quite nice. But a New York accent is epic, but it's so hard. For me, it's so hard. So you're going to go back to nasal, which is the way Aussies speak usually. And my trigger phrase is, the hair is long, it's flowing, it's like a river. And so it's like really assertive and forward and like aggressive. And you say those words like, you know, like gua, dog, ball, you know, like, oh, it's so different. It's very different to general American. Anyway, I completely digress. We are here to talk about the book. Anyway, dialect. I love it. I love, 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 love learning about dialect. So this whole chapter is about success, but it's about how success can look different for different people and different cultures. So, you know, if you're really into the Kardashians, success might be having a great car or having the latest Louis Vuitton bag, you know, and then if you're in, like, say, Bhutan, where they measure national gross happiness over economy, then success might be measured by how happy you are and, you know, how much time you spend in nature and if you're doing what you love. And so they're obviously very different kind of like lenses to be looking through. Oh, Bhutan, sorry. I've got all the phonetic spelling in here too because I'm so bad at it. I had to re-record. So in the podcast, I talk about the Maldives a few times and I say it a few times and then, like, we got the re-records for this book the other day and it was like, Lola, it's not Maldives, it's Maldives. Sorry, Maldives. I had to redo it all. We write about expectation here. We talk about how success, I talk about how success is messy. We talk a bit about fast fame and success because, you know, you got Insta fame and you got reality stars and whatnot. How to become more successful, trusting intuition, importance of being all in, and here's the bottom. I'll finish with the bottom line bit. Success, the bottom line. Know that success looks different for everyone. Don't expect other people to understand your dreams, but don't put up with their bagging them out either. Oh, yeah, I talk about the dingoes, like the haters. So don't expect other people to understand your dreams, but don't put up with them bagging them out either. Live with no regret. Drop the need for fame and overnight success. It will not serve you. Do what it takes. Work hard. Be all in. So, yeah, that is like the part one of the book. And then the next part is kind of like the bit where you're like, oh, cool, I'm going to give this thing a try. There's a bit of nutrition stuff in here. There's a bit of yoga stuff. So in the next episode, we're going to tackle part two of the book. And like I said, it's a three-part series. So episode one is the last Friday's ep. Then you've got this episode here. And then next week will be the third episode. Just to give you a taste of the book and, like, thank you for, like, even listening to the book and supporting it. And, like, I've seen, like, mates at airports now that we can travel again, like, filming little vids of seeing the book at the airport. Like, that means loads. Like, that might mean that one mate of yours sees and goes, I'm going to have a squiz at that book. So thank you so much for all of the book support. It means so much to me. And, yeah, it wouldn't be here without you. Like, sure, I can write it and the publishers can publish it, but, like, you're the people that get it over the line. You're the people that actually support it and go out and buy it. Like, without you, it doesn't exist. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. And I look forward to chatting to you next week more about the book. Big love. Bye.